Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Good evening, everyone. This is South Cars, South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Net this evening is conducted under the guidelines of the South Car organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and good amateur practice. This car server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by KB8ZGL. All contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. Okay, I peruse down this preamble a bit here to make sure I pick things out that are appropriate for this evening. Throughout the presentation tonight, there will be times when I will call for check-ins and leave plenty of room for questions from people that are listening in the audience. Okay, the net control station for this evening is VE3MEW. My name is Bill, located in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. Currently, the temperature is 32 degrees, right at the freezing mark, and we are sitting under a snowfall warning alert for the next 15 or 16 hours. We're going to get a few inches, apparently. Alrighty, and thanks to Pete, V2XPL, I have made the appropriate adjustments to my buttons here. I don't think I'm going to get stuck with a program that doesn't operate because it doesn't have the focus at the top of the program there. Thank you, Pete, if you're listening. And our topic for this evening is 1010 International. I don't know how many of you may or may not belong to that organization, but I certainly have been a member of it for many, many long years. Participated in much of their activities and enjoyed it immensely. So it's another organization, similar to SCARS, you might say, but different. And we're going to explore some of those differences and cover some of the interests that you might find interesting this evening. The 1010 International Net Incorporated was formed back in 1962, at that time it was entitled 1010 Net of Southern California. By 1975, 13 years later, there were 10,000 members, and the word international came into play since there were now members from other countries around the world. As of today, there have now been over 75,000 1010 numbers issued worldwide. Okay. Incidentally, this happens to be the 50th anniversary. This year, 2012, is the 50th anniversary of the 1010 International Net. So that tells you it's been around for quite a number of years, and there's a number of events that are occurring this year to celebrate the 50th anniversary. I'll take a short pause here. Oh, very good. Upon meeting the membership requirements, a unique membership number called a 1010 number is issued to the new member, and that number is for life, regardless of any change in your call sign, and the number is never reissued, not even after a member becomes a silent key. New members are issued a membership card, a certificate of membership, and they receive the 1010 News magazine mailed out quarterly. Members are eligible to participate in various 1010 activities, which include, but are not delegated to, collecting 1010 numbers for bar awards, worked all states, worked all continents awards, county honey awards, the 1010 QSO party contests, and paper chasing. I'll deal with paper chasing a little bit later on in the program here. The 1010 International Net is a non-profit entity and is incorporated under the laws of the state of California. All officers, committee chairmen, award managers, and other function leaders associated with 1010 serve the organization on a strictly a volunteer basis. We'll take another short break here for a moment. Nice to be able to do that and then have a sip of coffee. The purpose of the organization, its purpose was to promote activity and good operating practice on the 10-meter amateur band. One of the ideas that come up from time to time is that if we don't use it, meaning the frequencies that are allocated to us, we may lose them. Although, to be very truthful with you, ladies and gentlemen, why any commercial or other entity would want the 10-meter band completely escapes me due to its very strange operating characteristics with propagation of sunspots and so on. Just a brief synopsis here on some of the activity for 1010. They hold a daily nets on single sideband, except on Sunday. All are at 1800 Zulu on 28800 and 28380 megahertz. As with SCARS, there are various net controllers for Monday through Saturday on the two frequencies. There are 1010 chapter nets from around the world each day. Chapter is a, as it says, is a chapter of 1010 International, usually formed locally, such as, for example, you could have a chapter in Miami, which would come on and have local participation, but also be open for worldwide participation. Periodically throughout the year, there are 1010 QSO party on the 10-meter band, which includes single sideband, CW, and digital. And a QSO party is essentially a contest, but it's a little different than your normal run-of-the-mill contest. Most of the CQ and ARRL contests is 59QRZ, 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 and that's pretty well about it. Oh, sometimes you have to pass a serial number. Yeah, you're number 001, 59001 Ontario. That's fine, you know, if that's what it is. It's a little different on 1010. There are dozens of awards that members can work towards if you choose to. And so the next topic I might chat with for a minute is why you might want to consider joining 1010 International. I tried to arrange for the current president, Mel Sojka, KD5DE, to join us tonight from Shreveport, Louisiana. But he's out cutting some bait tonight. It's a part-time job he has, and he's computer where he's located is not able to get in on the net this evening. So we'll take another short pause and see if we have anyone that would like to call in with their call sign and have any questions so far. V3MEW.
Six, Victor. Good evening, sir.
Very good evening to you, sir. Nice to hear you. KY6B, go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Good evening to you, sir, and thank you for spearheading the 1010 conversation here this evening. Gordon, KY6V, you know, thinking back, Bill, 1010 came into vogue about 15 years my junior. I started out in about 1949, but I'm just absolutely amazed at their 76,000, I think you said 75 or 76,000 membership roster. I'd be very interested to know if they have a complete listing of that anywhere on the website. I didn't spend a lot of time before the net this evening to research their home site, but it looks like it's pretty well what is documented by chapters. You know, you may have a chapter in Reno, Nevada, and one in California, and another one someplace else, and then around the world. I wondered if there was a consolidated listing. I'm very interested in that size. I'd also like to mention, you know, SouthCars does the same thing on Silent Keys. When our members pass away, they take their membership number with them. It is never reassigned. And I think that's just a grand way of doing things. Let me buy a nickel here for just a second. The only other comment I had, Bill, was that, you know, you got to think this way. 10 meters was my favorite band when I cut my teeth in ham radio. I was very active on 10 and 40, and then those days, 40 meters was just, the entire band was just CW. but we had some hellacious and fun nets in the San Francisco Bay Area where I was at that time with a kid still wet behind the ears, and great ground wave coverage. So don't rule out some of these commercial guys trying to get a nip into the 10-meter band because they know what they can do locally. Back to you, sir, from KY6B. Over.
Okay, this would be 3MEW. Okay, Gord, very good. Yes, if you study the website, and I'm going to give the reference here, which is www.10-10.org, and that's the word 10, T-E-N-T-E-N.org is the website. If you study it, you go across the top on the menus, you should find at some point in time a thing where it says chapters. You click on chapters, and you should be able to get a listing. I see that Kathy has put the 10 number in the website address, and it's actually the word 10, T-E-N-T-E-N. That's, I don't know whether the numbers would work or not. I've never tried that. But I know I have it bookmarked, and that's, yeah, that's the way it is, girl. You got it. Okay, there is a listing of the current active chapters. They have changed over the years. Some have gone QRT. They're just not in business anymore. The majority of the chapters have their own particular website devoted to their particular chapters, such as the City of Roses in Seattle, Portland 500, which is in Dallas, Oregon. You have the Deandertal and the Waterkant.net, one out of Germany. Now we're getting close to bringing up the subject of paper chasing and a little bit more information relating to why you might particularly like to join 1010. As you know, not everything in amateur radio is for everybody. Not everybody likes CW. Not everybody likes digital. Not everybody even likes HF. Some people are just happy with a 2-meter rig. Some people don't want to talk on single sideband. They only want to do CW and so on and so forth. Well, there's a little bit of something for everybody, I believe, personally, in 1010 International. What I like about it is, for example, it's as if there is a 365-day-a-year contest going on. It's sitting there, and I can participate anytime I want, as long as the sun is nice to me and we have a little bit of propagation. That brings up what we like to do is called paper chasing and going after the awards. People that like to collect the certificates from the various chapters and the various awards, we call them paper chasers because that's what they're getting. They're going after that certificate. They want to mount it in a nice piece of protective plastic sheeting and put it in a binder. I have two binders full of them here, and I'm very I have a lot of good memories about them all and enjoyed collecting each and every one of them. So that's part of it. The other part of it, which makes it a little bit interesting, is keeping track of the data. As you can well imagine, there's a fair little bit of data involved in tracking down these 1010 numbers. I'm going to buy a short pause here. Okay, a legal exchange for 1010 number is your call sign, your name, your QTH, the 1010 number, and any other pertinent information you may want to exchange at that time, such as the county you live in, because some people do collect the counties for the awards, and any chapter information you may want to exchange, or you may just want to be satisfied with to also give out an email address and exchange a list of the chapters and the numbers and the awards you have by email, which is perfectly legal once you've done a proper 1010 meter exchange. So you need a program, a particular program, to keep track of all this data. And there's a pile of it, let me tell you. The top guy right now has got well over 20,000 or 25,000 numbers collected, and that's WA5JDU. He's the top of the pile. There's a few people chasing him, such as my friend Ray, N5DAS out of San Antonio, Texas, and so on. I'm way down on the list. I've got about 1,600 numbers collected, and I'm frantically typing them into a database program here, which is designed specifically for 1010, and that's all. That's all it's made for, is for keeping track of 1010 numbers, 1010 chapters, and all the data pursuant to it, and printing out the award applications and so on. So I'll buy a nickel here, and I'm also going to see if anybody else would like to call in and check in or whatever. E3MEW.
Sierra United November.
Well, good evening, Kathy, and it's really nice to hear your voice. I'm glad you're there. And by all means, come on in, and if we can help you out, we'd be glad to do that.
Well, thank you so much, Bill, and hopefully my voice sounds better than it has sound, but I'm really not that familiar with 1010. I do remember back in 2010, maybe it was times you were doing the nets, but I remember you telling us about 10-10-10. It was 2010, I think it was October 10th, and that was the first time I remember you saying something about it, but I know you're very involved with it. But I will tell you, my temperature here in Vero Beach is about 83 degrees right now at 7 o'clock in the evening. Oh, we've had a high of about 86, and it's going to be warmer tomorrow but cooler on Saturday. But I feel sorry for you with that snow. But you talked a little bit about the 75,000. I heard that. And about getting the 1010 number. And I assume you have to connect to that net to get that 1010 number. But you also talked about a 1010 NCS. And I wanted to know, are you one of those NCSs? Or, you know, how do you become one of those NCSs? And maybe just a little bit more. But I'm enjoying listening to what you're talking about, because I'm really not that familiar. But I did want to say hi this evening. And you're talking about the paper chasers and the data. Data is what school teachers often have to find on their students to receive their evaluations here in the state of Florida. So I thought the data was very interesting. But I did want to say hi, and I hope everyone else will come aboard and say hi as well to you, Bill. Thanks so much for doing this net tonight. I really appreciate it. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Back to VE3MEW.
Okay, Kathy. Well, thank you for dropping by. And you've awoke a memory, one that I is not necessarily a pleasant one. The 10th day of the 10th month of 2010 was supposed to be a special day for 1010 International. We had special event stations standing by. And if you were a 1010 member and you made contact with them, otherwise you didn't have necessarily to be a member, but you could be eligible for a special certificate, a special QSL card, and the sun did not cooperate. We had zero propagation, and it was extremely disappointing, and I felt it. I felt that little twinge in my chest that, oh, no, here we go again. Oh, somebody send up a rocket to the sun or something, whatever. But it didn't happen. So we had a similar situation here in the Winter QSL Party Contest for 1010 here a few weeks ago. If you were to check the listing of the logs that have been sent in for that particular 24-hour contest, there's a section of Canada which is conspicuous with its absence. That's because we had no propagation. We heard nothing. We couldn't talk to nobody. Well, we could talk to people around Peterborough. That really didn't help a whole lot. You know, you want to take part in an event like that, you want to be able to make, you know, quite a few hundred QSLs if you can, and get some points, get some multipliers, and it didn't happen. There was a couple of logs sent in from Quebec, some from down the East Coast, and one from Saskatchewan, a couple from Alberta, and two or three from Vancouver, but nothing from Manitoba, and nothing from Ontario. It's as if this whole center section up through Hudson Bay just got squat. We got nothing. So propagation and the way the 10-meter band operates is extremely interesting. As far as your question on whether I am an NCS or not, no, ma'am, I am not. Those are strictly volunteer positions. If you're interested, you just simply volunteer. They check your station out, they check your equipment out, and they make sure you know how to properly conduct yourself on the air, similar to what you do for SCARS. And then you pick a time and a day when it's convenient for you, works for you, and you go ahead and you do the nets. Right now, they seem to have a full complement of net control stations. And regarding your question of how you get a number, well, you have to collect 10 numbers. You have to make 10 contacts with 10 members. Collect 10 call signs, 10 names, 10 QTHs, and 10 numbers. You submit that data to the database manager, and then you are issued your number and your certificate. And there's the little tinkle, so it's going to time out. Anyone would like to call in? Go ahead, please.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
And 6 Victor, sir.
Okay. I got Lima, Charlie Bravo, and Gord another time. Good evening, George. KW4LCB, go ahead, sir.
BE3MAW, and good evening, Bill. Thank you for doing this net. I was sitting back wondering, listening to the contesting, and you had mentioned different nets and different areas of contesting and doing the thing there. But what about general old sit down and rag to and ask somebody how in the world him and his family getting along? Are they still putting that kind of stuff in nets nowadays?
George, to answer your question, I have to be very fair and tell you that that's one of the things I actually like about 1010. There are two or three, shall we say, monitoring frequencies. Frequencies that I can have on my radio here, and I can turn on the radio, and actually that's the way my radio works. I turn on my Yaesu FT950 here, and the first frequency that comes up is on the 10-meter band, and I have a pretty good idea based on having checked spaceweather.com. I'm pretty sure I know what's going on with the sun for that particular day. If the sunspot number is up over 100, then I know there's going to be some action. So that is a particular frequency that there's a frequency that I have dialed in. It comes up on memory, and I will listen to that frequency. And if you or Gord or anybody else wanted to call me on 10 meters and there was propagation, I'd hear you. And we could sit and rag to you by the hour. And there's a number of people that I have talked to over the years on that 10-meter band. And that's exactly what we did. And unfortunately, some of them have passed on, and that's a sad thing. You know, you get the magazine, and one of the things you do, I guess maybe that's a sign of getting old, George. You go to the silent key page, and, oh, no, so-and-so, oh, man, I remember him. I talked to him so many times. What a nice guy. Oh, that is so sad. Oh, boy. You know, when you get on the net, you talk to somebody else. Hey, you remember so-and-so? Remember you used to talk to him? Yeah. Oh, that's too bad he passed away, man. He's going to be missed. He was a good man. He was a good guy or good lady or whatever. And, you know, that's part of it. Yes, definitely there is rag-chewing, George. Back to you for a minute.
Yeah, okay, Bill. I just wondered. Seemed like that's a dying trade that I've noticed quite a bit. With so much different contesting going on. If I make a call when you answer me, you know, well, I know that you hear me. You know, I don't care too much about what I'm doing on the signal strength. I'm quite sure if you wasn't hearing me, you'd let me know that too. And we'd make an adjustment if one was available. But, you know, that has been my observation, and the more information about different organizations out there, you know, it gives you different areas to look into. We did play 10 meters quite some time back, running 7-element Makos and things such as that there. But I enjoyed it then there, how everything worked out. We'll throw it back to you, sir. Thank you for doing the net. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Yeah, very good, George. Well, I look upon SCARS as one of the friendliest family type groups that I have ever encountered on the radio. But I have to say, you're right up there, neck and neck with 1010. The majority of the people that I run across on 1010 are extremely friendly, really extremely down to earth. They don't have their nose stuck up in the air. They're like anybody else's good neighbor, and they seem to enjoy sitting there talking about the dogs and the cats and their latest hobby and Aunt Sarah's cross-stitching project and so on and so forth. And, of course, we're exchanging numbers. We're exchanging information. We're looking to get those awards. So some of us are very adamant about chasing them. Others do it in a casual manner. But we'd all do it for fun. And the day may come when it won't be fun anymore, and then I won't do it. That's it. That's how simple it is. And if I run across the odd person that's a little cranky, then I just move along. Leave them alone. Same as I would right here on SCARS. Somebody on SCARS gets a little cranky, a little upset, then I'm just going to leave them be. Maybe they'll feel better tomorrow. KY6B, go ahead, V3MEW.
Hey, thanks, Bill, KY6B. Yeah, take two aspirins. Call me in the morning, will you? Great. Hi, George. Just a quick question. As this thing has evolved up to a membership of 76,000 over the 50 years, is there any cost now involved in joining? Or do they, I know it's a non-profit, do they encourage donations? You might touch on that for me. Also, explain to us the meaning of 10-10. Now, we know one of the 10s has got to be 10 meters, right? Is the other 10 contacts and you're a member? Just asking the question. But I'll tell you what, 10 meters can be an awful lot of fun. I will tell you, after 63 years of fooling around here with a hobby, Bill, the greatest time that I had was a sunspot cycle in the early 1950s. I could work 3,000 miles across the United States with an antenna that was called a soldering iron. Go ahead, Bill, KY6V, over.
Yeah, I completely concur, sir. And, yeah, I have memories back in the 80s. I didn't get my ham license until 1979. That wasn't very long before I encountered 1010. I knew about them before, and it didn't take me long to get the requirements I needed to become a member. And so I've been a member since early 1979. Well, no, late 1979, I should say, around November. And some of the years in the 80s, I think about 1987, 88 was a peak year for one of the sunspot cycles. And, oh, man, I got more contacts than I could shake a stick at. To answer your question about money, yes, there is a cost. It is not free, not like SCARS. There is a cost to become a member. There are yearly dues. And there's a fee schedule set up. And, of course, the dues cost is different depending on whether you live in the United States or whether you're considered DX, such as myself. Anybody that lives outside the continental United States is considered DX, and their costs are a little bit higher. And, of course, the main reason is to cover the postage costs of shipping out the quarterly 1010 International News to you. There are such things as family members, such as you might be a member, and your wife might want to be a member and have her own 1010 number, which can be done. And there's a separate, smaller fee for that, of course. There are life memberships, such as depending on your age, that will determine the cost. Now we have senior life memberships. As far as donations are concerned, yes, there are donations. There is a scholarship foundation set up by 1010 International, and each year money is awarded to amateur radio operators, young people, to help with their tuition in school, university or college, and it's based on recommendations sent in by members, and usually the person is also happens to be a member of 1010 International. Go figure that one out, eh? Oh, dear. Either that or the family member is. But, yeah, there are donations involved in that. and they maintain a yearly scholarship fund. They give out some money each year to help out. So, and you are right when you say 10-10. That's 10 contacts on 10 meters. And exchanging your contact information on any other band is not valid, not legal. So if I meet you on 20 meters and I tell you my 10-10 number is 31824, well, too bad. It's not legal to do that as far as the organization is concerned. We can do that, but don't bother sending it in for award because and claim you did it on 20 meters because it won't count. So, there's the tinkle again. I love that tinkle. That is so neat. Anyone else who would like to call in? Go ahead, please.
Victor Quebec, Victor.
WA3ABI.
Sorry, I doubled with somebody. Go again, please, that second station.
WA3 Alpha Delta India.
Okay, I have two stations. I have Victor Quebec Victor and WA3ADI. The Victor Quebec Victor station. Go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the connection. Number one, I've got to ask you if you're getting a decent signal report from me.
Okay, there's a little bit of scratchiness, a little bit of static on your signal, perhaps, but we're still finding you readable. No problem. Go ahead.
Bill, well, thank you. That's a surprise. The repeater that's local to me to serve the Philadelphia area, full call sign is Kilo Bravo 3, Victor Quebec Victor. The name is Chris in Philadelphia. And my local repeater up here in Newtown Square pretty much was off the air. It dropped all of the networks on Saturday, Sunday, the Morse code Sunday. It was on the air Monday and off the air all day Tuesday. So it is so intermittent, and it's a frustration. I don't like to be negative on the air, but when you plan your day around an event and for something out of your own control, just doesn't make it happen. And when that goes on day after day, it happened during the extra classes that a lot of people down in Florida put a lot of hard work into. So there's no blame going around. I just want to, share. I want to vent a little bit and share the sense of frustration and ask why us people up in here in the good area of Philadelphia don't have a repeater that's reliable. I think it's under 50%. KB3, Kilo Bravo 3, Victor Quebec Victor.
Okay, Chris, V3MBW here. Thanks for dropping by. I'm not laughing at you, Chris. Really, I'm not. But I have to commiserate with you for a minute there because I know where you're coming from. We're in a little better position than you, unfortunately, here in Peterborough. We have two repeaters here right in the city, and we have one a few miles south of us we can easily use, which is grand coverage, and we have a couple to the west of us also, which are considered local because they're only a few miles from town, and they work quite well. And actually, that's a good thing because I know exactly what you're talking about. You have an event plan, you have communications plan, you have an Aries net plan or something, and all of a sudden the repeater goes down. What do you do? Oh, boy. We actually have one down right now. I don't know what happened, whether somebody I thought said the antenna blew over. I don't know. But it's up in the north end of town. It's fast to the side of somebody's garage, and it's not working. I could turn the dial over there on the 2-meter rig right now and key it, and nothing's happening. But we have three or four others that we can use. So we're okay. So that's all I can suggest, Chris, is that somebody else we maybe have to put up another repeater in Newton Square, Philadelphia. Back to you, sir.
Thanks, Bill, for sharing that with me. I understand, at any point in time, be it weather or a technical glitch, but when it happens over and over again, month after month after month, and the reliability factor is lower than 50%, I'm going to guess around 35-37%. Whoever wants to expand the footprint of the WAN system, which is a terrific system, not the WAN system, excuse me, the Southcar system. Those are the two big ones. WAN comes out of Pittsburgh, and Southcar's I know originates and is managed down in Florida. But when there's a problem there, And I don't know the right way to report a problem. It's probably not to do it over the air. So I checked in KB3VQZ, and I'll check out because I've taken up enough time. So back to you, Bill, and go on with your net.
Six vector comment, please.
Probably the first approach I would make would be to find out who is the technical person that looks after that particular repeater and have a nice friendly conversation with them and offer my assistance in whatever manner it might be. We have a good technical guy here in Peterborough, looks after ours. And we had a repeater that was dying. It just got worse and worse and worse until it was basically pretty much unusable. And we sat down here back in November and we took a vote as a club and decided, okay, we're going to buy a new repeater. And we got some information, and that's what we did. And that's what's in Peterborough right now. It's a brand new 2-meter repeater, a new controller, and working just tickety-boo, wonderful. We're quite happy with it. So sometimes we had some money saved up over the years, and people were very reluctant to spend it. But there wasn't a whole lot of choice. You either spend it or this is gone, and we'll be sitting here twiddling our thumbs, and that'll be it. So that's what they did. Okay, I'm going to move along here and call WA3ADI. Good evening, sir. Go ahead.
Six Victor when it fits, sir.
CE, and I'm located in Havertown, Pennsylvania, which is about 10 miles west of Center City, Philadelphia. And I guess it's interesting that I had the opportunity to check in tonight, because I'd like to address some of Chris's points there. First of all, some of the points that you made, I think your name is Bill NetControl. I'm not sure I didn't catch your name, but you made some excellent points, and I would agree with them. And as far as Chris's concern goes, I wanted to point out that the Philmont Radio Club on 14703 also has an Echo Link connection, which is over in Roxborough, Pennsylvania. The Roxborough section of Philadelphia, I should say. And I'm not sure exactly where Chris is located, but I also have an IRLP note at my house that he's more than welcome to use any time to check into South Cars or any other IRLP note he wants to check into. And also, there's an IRLP note on the Marple Newtown Amateur Radio Club machine that does not get that much use, and they'd be more than happy to, if he was a member of that club, they would be more than happy and willing to let him use that to check in the South Cars also. So there are some options, and I just wanted to point them out. There's probably a few other things, too, such as the All-Star Network, and Echo Link via the computer. So that's about it, and just thought I would pass that information along. WA3ADI.
WA3ADI, VE3MEW. Okay, thanks, Vince. And yes, the name is Bill, and I appreciate that. And it's always nice to have options. It's always nice to have some of them written down. I write them down because I don't remember them very well. We have a couple other stations up here locally that have linking EchoLink and IRLP capabilities, and we make use of them. Sometimes we get together in the trans-provincial net for ARIES purposes, where we check in from all across the province, same as you would have, for example, you might have a Florida net where you have a whole bunch of people from all over Florida checking in for an ARIES net of some kind. Well, we have that up here in Ontario. And it's called Transprovincial, and we do that through IRLP because we link up some repeaters. We can't link them all, but we do connect some of them, and then we go ahead and have our net that way. But anyway, always nice to have options, that's for sure. Okay, Vince, thanks for dropping by, and I'm going to call on Gord, KY6B. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Gordon, KY6V here. Trans-provincial net. Boy, I'll tell you what, does that have some glamour. Your PR man is doing a great job on that one. May I have a short with Chris, please, sir, over?
By all means, sir. Take it away. V3MEW, standing by.
All right, thank you. KB3VQV, KY6B. Good evening, Chris. Before you get yourself too disturbed, may I make a couple of suggestions? The owner, operator, and gentleman in charge of WA3NNA repeater, your 442-600, his name is Pete. He's a real straight shooter. I've known him for years. He has been with our South Cars operation almost from the start. He's highly technically competent and does everything necessary and beyond the cause to keep things going in your local area. His email address is wa3nna@wa3nna.net. May I suggest, Chris, before you foam any further, that you get in contact with this gentleman. Talk with him. You'll find him to be just a great individual, and I'll bet you that you can work out your frustrations with him, Chris. Over.
Gordon, this is KB3VQZ. Thank you for the comeback. Now, one of the frustrations is, I don't know whether it's a piece of equipment that he's having a problem with, or whether somebody who dials in where the what's connected to what in terms of the network operation. I'm not that technical, and I'm just expressing a little frustration. And Vince, when he got on the air, and he said there are backups. I've got a personal computer, a laptop, and an iPhone, all loaded with Echolink. And my next step is going to be to activate it and develop a plan B. But because I think that's always a good way to, you know, it's a good way to plan ahead. But I just wanted to express a little bit of my frustration. And I wasn't blaming anybody, because you can't blame anybody if you don't know what the heck is going on. KB3VQZ, Chris in Philadelphia.
No, I understand that, Chris. I'm suggesting that you go to the horse's mouth, okay? Pete is listed on QRZ. You get his full name and et cetera. Search a telephone number on him. If you have any trouble with that, I can probably dig one up for you. Talk with him. Get to understand what's going on. And I would suggest, sir, that if your plan B is anything, with the equipment that you now have available to you, that you connect on Echolink via your computer directly to the SCAR server and leave the RF to the RF world. Over.
Roger on that, and I hope to have that operational within the next week or so. And, again, I can't... Now, is his... is his handle the same as the calling sign for the repeater channel?
Well, his handle is Pete. His call sign is the same on the repeater, sir. Yes, that's correct. WA3 November Alpha, Newtown Square. Over.
I got it. I wrote it down. I will. I'll track down his email or his phone number and give him a call and find out what is happening. It's not life critical. It's just when it happens, you know, over and I'm not going to go down that road again. I think you got thank you for coming back and sharing this with me. Maybe we should send this back to the net. Kilo Bravo 3 Victor Quebec Victor.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Bill. You know, the only other thing that is more paramount, Chris, is when our SCAR server goes down. And it does that every now and then. Go ahead, Bill, and thank you. KY6V, over.
Okay, Gord, thanks very much. And you too, Chris. Thanks for dropping by. This little session will be over before too long. I was going to cover one more thing here. one more little topic that comes up. If you have the time, you might want to check the 1010.org website. Take a look at it, see if any of that material is of interest to you. And when you're perusing down through the list of chapters that are active, those are the active ones that have NETs on a weekly and daily daily basis, you'll see that some of them are hyperactive in that you can click and it will take you to that chapter's website where you could get more information about the requirements for the various chapters. So you look at that and you consider, do I want to get involved with that? Perhaps I'm a school teacher and I live in Vero Beach. I don't have time for this nonsense. I could be retired. I might be a former KY6B 10 meter enthusiast, and this would just be right up my alley. So maybe I should join and get my 1010 number. So there, you just have to think about what you're getting into. There are some people who initially got interested, met the requirements, applied, got their number. That's it. They never did nothing more with it after that. Some of them have forgotten their number and have to be reminded. And incidentally, you asked me a question before, Gord, and I have to give you a very straight answer, sir. I have two icons on my screen that I can click on right now and bring up a program which is free for you or anybody else to have, which is a listing of all the 1010 numbers and all the stations that have those numbers. And you can sit there and peruse them to your heart's content. All 75 or 76,000 of them, if you wish. Any comments on that, Gord? Back to you, sir.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Send me the URL, sir. And thank you, KY6V, over.
Okay. You asked for it. I may even do better than that. I may just send you the whole little program as an attachment to an email, and you could sit there and play with it to your heart's content. So, oh boy. Yep. I actually have two of them, and one is DOS-based, believe it or not. So it's old, but it's up to date, and it works. And the other is a little bit more modern. The database program we use, which is linked to the little program I will send you, is called Win1010 by Jim Harding down in Georgia. A very good programming gentleman, and done a wonderful job. Keeps up to date on the program at all times, and so that's the one we use. If you're a serious 1010 collector, that's the program you use to keep track of it all. And we can be working somebody on the air, for example. I can be working KY6V on 10 meters and put in his call sign. Oh, there comes, there's the number. Oh, yeah, I worked you on November the 10th in 1989. Yeah, we had a QSO. Okay, there you go. So that's the kind of records we have. We know who we worked and when and where. And then I say, well, by the way, I didn't get your county. What county are you in? I want your county. Or do you have a VP number yet? Did you get your VP number yet? You get that number after you have turned in enough contacts for the 1010 numbers and so on. Incidentally, I'll be applying very, very shortly for another bar award. Actually, a couple bar awards, 1500 and 1600 bar award coming up for me very shortly. Currently awaiting a certificate from Germany, and I have two others coming from Oregon that I've applied for. I got my Ali one from Hawaii. Oh, what a treat that was to talk to Hawaii here a few weeks ago. First time in years that I've talked to Hawaii on 10 meters. Wow, couldn't believe it. A couple people from Alaska joined in, and they wanted 1010 numbers, and I was happy to oblige, and oh, lots of fun. Anyway, that does not address my initial sentence here, the last one. Why you might consider wanting to join 1010. I'm going to buy a nickel here. If you spend any time, this is V3MEW, by the way, for ID. If you spend any time on 10 meters, at some point in time, you're bound to be asked by somebody, you got a 1010 number? And you have to say, no. Well, why not? They don't know. Well, now you do know. So you could get one just to be nice to people like me that come along and say, you got a 1010 number? Oh, good. Thank you very much. Here's mine. And you don't really want mine. You don't care. You're not interested. You're not collecting them, but I want yours for the award. So how's that for a stupid answer, eh? What a way to end this net. Anybody else would like to jump in here? Go ahead. V3MEW, standing by.
KC2THO. Good evening, Bill, and to everyone else on the net. I just joined you a few minutes ago. I don't know what's going on, but that's okay, too. Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Tom. Nice to hear from you from New Jersey, U.S. of A. The topic tonight is 1010 International. I'm a member of 1010 International, have been for many years, so I presented a forum here on the TNT forum tonight on the topic of 1010 International. And I had mentioned to Gord earlier, I was wondering, I'm just curious, how many SCARS members might also be members of 1010 International? I don't think he knows, and I don't know for sure either. But anyway, that was the topic tonight, Tom. Go ahead.
Roger, THO. I'm looking at the list of people on here. We just finished the CW class with Gordon on Tuesday night. It looks like almost the same group. I haven't been on 10 meters. I'm good for 15, 20, 40, and a couple in between. And I'm just getting into CW. Thanks to Gordon. He did a great job. I see him smiling in Florida. And I'm just learning everything as I go along. And a friend of mine is going to pick me up to go to a luncheon tomorrow, and he's been a ham for 50 years. And he's going to give me some hints, he said. So that's great. So that's where I'm at. Back to you, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, Tom. Very good. V3MEW here. There's a number of reasons why 10 meters is appealing. One of the reasons is the length of the antenna. It's a lot easier to put up an antenna on 10 meters, especially if you live in a restricted community or a restricted residence, such as an apartment building or something, than it is to put up something for 160 or 80 meters. 10-meter antenna don't have to be very big. And as Gord said, sometimes when the sunspots are right and the propagation is right, you can work the world on a wet noodle, that's for sure. It's certainly a fun, and it's challenging. You never know. You wake up tomorrow morning, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Are we going to have an M or an X-class flare that's going to propagate, it's going to be booming, sunspot number going to be over 100, or what? Or are we going to have nothing, and just a little bit of static in the background and nobody hearing anybody? So, by the way, I might be interested everybody to know that I have taken the initiative here and sat down and done the homework and laid out all the groundwork for a local 1010 chapter here in Peterborough called Liflock City, because it's centered on the Liflocks, which is just up the street from me, which is an internationally known wonder of the world, man-made wonder of the world. And we are working on having 1010 nets here on Saturday evening each week and trying to build up the interest, because we need a specific number of people to legally apply for a 1010 net. You don't just come along and say, well, I'm going to start a net. I'm going to start a 1010 chapter. You have to have a specific number of people. They have to have a specific job. Same as you have an amateur radio club, you have a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, so on and so forth. Well, with a chapter, you have at least four or five people that are dedicated to that chapter on a weekly basis. They have nets, and each person has a particular job that they do, including one of them being certificate manager and a data manager, keeping track of people around the world, what numbers are issued to who, and so on and so forth. So, K6SUN says before I close, okay, call on some announcements, schedule, okay, I'm reading that, very good. At this point in time, we're getting down to the hour, so I'm going to ask if there's anybody else would like to jump in here and have any questions or anything, please go ahead, V3MEW.
6 Victor with a short question, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Your key net frequencies are what on 10 meters for 1010, sir? Over.
Okay, there are two nets conducted on a daily basis, except on Sunday. 28380 and 28800. And they commence at 1800 hours Zulu. And if the West Coast can't hear the East Coast and vice versa, such as what was going on today, you will have relay stations kicking in from time to time. And I usually, if I don't check in every day, I usually listen every day. Sometimes I do check in. Occasionally I will see if they need a relay, and I offer some assistance if required. But the geography or the geographical location of myself here in Ontario does not really lend itself too well to be of much help. So basically, if you have stations in California and Oregon and Washington, and you got a station in Florida or North South Carolina area, that pretty well covers it from coast to coast, and they can pretty well handle it, and that's kind of the locations they need to be. So 28380 is the frequency that my radio sits on when as soon as I turn it on, and 28800 is the other net, and it's a single sideband, and at 1800 hours on a daily basis except for Sunday. Back to you, sir.
All right, maybe we need to talk about this when time permits, Bill. I'm going to think out of the box here for a moment and say to you for consideration, 28380 takes technicians up in license classifications here in the United States. 28800 limits it to generals and up. Now, what would happen if you cross-banded 28380 into the SCARS server for a 1010 net and let those coming in around the world talk to those on 10 meters on 380 to establish contacts? What do you think about that thought, over?
One thought, sir, no, absolutely not. The contact would not be considered legal. All activity relating to 1010 and the exchange of 1010 information, 1010 numbers, 1010 net activity is all done strictly by RF on the 10-meter band with an HF radio of some form or kind. Contacts made through Echolink or CQ100 or any of these other modes or methods is not legal. It is not allowed to be done. I mean, you can do it if you wish to, but don't bother sending it in for awards or certificates or anything else because it will not be allowed. It's not counted. So if I contact you and get your 1010 number, I have to also, when I send in my report, indicate the frequency. Okay, it was 28425 or 28325, whatever it was. And that's the way it is. I know it's done a little differently on SCARS. We have 7.251 for RF, and we also come through repeaters. We come through linking stations and so on, but not with the 1010 International, sir. All the information and all the rules are explicitly outlined and displayed for anyone to see at www.10-10.org. So pretty well everything you need to know is there. And there's a listing of the officers and the various managers of the sections. And they'd be more than happy to answer any more questions you might have with a simple email. They're a very friendly, down-to-earth bunch, and be quite happy to communicate with you, sir. And usually the replies are very quick. Back to you, Gord, VE3MEW.
Well, all I can say, Bill, is shucks. I thought maybe I could get you to 150,000 overnight. Thank you, sir. KY6V, over.
No, sir, not that way. But I'd be more than happy to chat with you on 10 meters if we can get some propagation down into Florida. I worked a number of stations down through Central America and down through Cuba and a couple of down in South Florida, down on the Keys there the other day on 10 meters. They were coming here quite loud. I listened to them. Had to be for half an hour. Finally, I said, oh, heck, I'm just going to drop my call sign in there. I just put V3MEW, boom. Yeah, V3MEW, go ahead. So we must have had chatted there for about 25, 30 minutes, and it was just loud and clear, no, perfectly quiet, no noise, just wonderful, lots of fun. So anyway, at this point in time, I'm going to say, folks, we are past the hour, and I'm going to see if Kathy, K6SUN, would like to make some announcements there and close down the net for this evening. K6SUN, V3MEW, would you care to go ahead, Kathy?
I'd be more than happy to, Bill, and I want to thank you for doing the net tonight. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Learned a lot of information, and some I didn't know. So, but I do want to go over it a little bit, and I'll try to make it quick on some of the announcements. But I did want to let everyone know that our CW class had just ended, and we're going to be getting our technician class on March 18th. So if you have that desire to join us, if you have friends that who want to join us, please please send us an email. After that, we will have the general and the extra. And so, you know, send us an email at vip@vipnet.southcars.com. Maybe with your email, your contact information, and let us know that you have an interest. But I just did want to briefly go over the nets for this weekend, if I may. But I want to thank you for joining us tonight, Bill, and doing a fantastic net. I'm glad that I could join you. But on Saturday, as all of you know, we have our series of nets. We have our morning, our Eurasia, our Pacific, and we have our global net. And once again, Bill, you will be the NCS for our global net. We're going to talk about President's Day. I, as your backup, and if you need any help, please let me know. And on a Sunday as the Rag Two, we will have Mardi Gras with Scott. He was connected this evening but didn't say much. And George will be his backup. We're hoping to hear what happened at Mardi Gras. But I wanted to go over some of the nets and wanted to thank you especially for doing the net tonight, doing the global on Saturday. Hope that you have a great evening, a great week ahead of you, and that goes to each and every one of you. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, MEW. If you have any further questions, I'd be more than happy to answer. But hopefully all of you will join us on Saturdays for a series of nets. Very fantastic nets, by the way. And on Sunday. Back to you, Bill. MEW from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Okay, Kathy, very good. And I see a note there in the text box from Sarah. Sarah's got a sore throat. Oh, my. Boy, oh, boy. That's unfortunate. Definitely not fun. I got to tell you, Sarah, you just get some lemon juice, mix it in with a little bit of brown sugar and a little bit of honey, and keep it warm at the back of the stove. At least that's what my mom used to do. And she'd give us a spoonful of that, let it trickle down our throat when we were kids once in a while. There was no drugstores handy that we could go to get cough syrup and all that kind of stuff. So we'd get a little trickle of that down our throat. And I got quite a taste for it, I have to tell you. I don't know whether it's drugged or addicting or whatever, but I got to the point I really liked it. And I'd be sneaking out there and getting another spoonful when nobody was looking. And Mom finally figured out after a while why the thing was going down real quick. Oh, boy. But it was good stuff, though. Man, that tasted good. I loved it. But it works. It does make your throat feel better, that's for sure. Anyhow. If there's nothing further from everyone, I was going to have a few words with Gord there on something. V3MEW. Okay, KY6V, V3MEW.
Standing at attention, sir. Go ahead, Bill. KY6V.
Oh, please. Down. Sit down. Put your feet up. Relax. This is not going to hurt. Not much. Oh, dear me. Anyway, that was fun tonight. I enjoyed that. And I was a little bit of a bad mood before I started because I'd been watching the news and I was seeing what was going on over there in Syria. And that's not funny. I was not amused. And I felt kind of bad, but I got growing in the net there and got talking and so on and heard a few people and so my mood got better. I'm okay now. I'll sleep all right tonight, I think. But anyway, interesting what you brought up, that little thing about cross-banding through Echolink and so on. Because I subscribe to the daily digest of emails that come and go for 1010 International. And I get a digest a couple times a day, a collection of all the emails that's going on, instead of all a whole bunch of individual ones. And I get the same thing for the ASU FT950 group I belong to. But anyway, a big discussion just started today on this JT45. And they're trying to figure out whether it's the contacts for 1010 using JT45 are legal to be used toward the digital awards or not. Now they've already gone over PSK31 and RTTY, and CW, of course, is classed as a digital contact for purposes of 1010 International digital awards. And so now the JT45 thing has come up, and I don't know very much about it, but apparently the exchange is really, really short. There's not a lot of information exchanged there. So apparently it's now been referred to the board of directors. Board of directors are going to have to sit down and discuss this and make up the rulings as to whether or not, I don't even know really what JT45 is or how to do it, but apparently it's all software originated. through a sound card interface to the computer, your radio. So, but that's the latest little flack that's going on right now. Gord, back to you, V3MEW.
Well, you know, I'd have to do some research on JP45 too, because I know very little about it. Do I assume, Bill, that it's happening outside of the voice portion, 10 meters, down in the CW portion, what might be considered part of the digital portion, and therefore they're deliberating on the legality, over?
Yeah, that is correct, Gord. There are, as you know, there is a band plan, which Canada subscribes to more or less as well as the Americans do, and plus there's also international agreements for different countries have different parts of the bands they can do certain things on depending on their class of license and so on. But Canada and the Americans generally shake hands and work together on the same band plan more or less, and we generally agree there is a specific gentleman's agreement where the CW portion is up around 28,100 to 28,200 is generally considered your digital portion. And then usually single sideband voice starts around 28.3, and from then on up through to there, you get to 2900. At 2900 megahertz, of course, things change because now you're getting up into satellite frequencies and you're getting up into the FM frequencies for the repeaters. So, we're talking the digital part of the 10-meter band. Gord, go ahead.
Okay, and what seems to be the controversy, Bill, with JP45 and acknowledging that, over?
Well, supposing you and I had a contact using PSK31, I can type on my keyboard and I can send you as much information as I want. I can sit there and type to you for 20 minutes if I like. I just keep sending it over and over and over again. QTH, county, the name of my dog and my cat, my 1010 number and my wife's name and, you know, the type of car I have and what the weather's like in the whole nine yards. We could go on for an hour. Not a problem. Apparently with JT45, what little I understand, is something like a 13-character transmission, apparently. Now, whether it is that people just want to make one transmission and then stop, and they don't want to make any more, apparently you're only allowed to send 13 characters out of SWAT. And that's all I know about it so far, based on what I read. And of course, you have to get a hold of the program. Now, some of these people are using Ham Radio Deluxe and the DM780, which I tried on my machine. It would never work; just kept crashing my computer. These people also like it for the cat control, apparently, of the radio. Instead of reaching out there and actually moving their arm and twirling the knob and pushing the buttons, they want to sit there and poke with their mouse on the screen and control the radio that way. Oh boy, where's the fun in that? I like twirling the knobs. I like pushing the buttons. Oh boy. Anyway, that's another subject completely. I can't tell you much more than that about JT45, except there's a big discussion going on as to the original purpose of 1010 International as far as the information for a legal contact is concerned, a legal exchange of information from one individual to another, what it has to comprise and hold and contain, and whether or not the JT45 can be somehow figured out to make a legal exchange to use. Now, as far as these exchanges are concerned, nobody really gives a hoot what kind of information you send back and forth until you send us in for an award. Once you send your information in for a specific award, that's when everything changes. The same way if you were to send in your log for a contest. You participate in an ARRL contest or CQ100 or whatever it is, there is specific format, specific information to be sent in for that particular log entry for that contest. And if it's not right, don't bother, or it'll just become a check log or whatever. So the same thing applies to 1010. There are specific rules and regulations as to what information is to be exchanged and so on. So the big question is the exchanges for using JT45 meet the requirements, and If not, what can be done about it? And are they should they be allowed to apply towards a digital reward such as the Digital Work Doll States Award and so on? Back to you, Gord.
All right. KY6V here. Well, not knowing anything about what we're talking about, but basing my thoughts here on what you have just said, in a JP45 conversation, can you not have a second transmission of 13 characters over?
I don't see why not, but I don't know. But as I said, I know very little about it, and I'm only going by what little I've read so far on the daily digest of emails that have come through about it. And there was a couple people involved in the discussion. It seemed like they're getting a little hot under the collar, shall we say, if I can read between the lines based on how they're typing and sending their message. Some of them are, oh, dear. Anyway, we'll have to see how it all pans out. I try never to let myself get hot under the collar when it comes to amateur radio, because that takes the fun out of it, and it's just a complete waste of time. By the way, Gord, thanks for pairing me up with Paul, WQ1I, for the upcoming tech course. He's a good man. I'm looking forward to working with him. And so we should have fun. We'll try and communicate with him and get all our questions and everything all laid out beforehand so we're ready to go and know what we're doing. And I would, just in closing, before I scoop off here and go feed my dog and go see how Marge is doing, I would encourage everybody, even if you just spend some time listening on the 10-meter band, check the spaceweather.com on your computer. If the sunspot number is 100 or above, you can see that on the left-hand side, just down from the top of short waves, then there's probably propagation on 10 meters. And you tune up and down the band from the bottom of CW all the way up through digital, right up through to 28,800 or so, you're bound to hear something, somebody talking from somewhere. And you might find it enjoyable. You might find it fun. And if you listen to some 10-10 people carrying on, you might decide, hey, I'm going to step in here. I'm going to collect my 10-10 numbers and apply for membership. So anyway, by the way, even if you let your membership lapse, so supposing you pay for your dues for a year and you get your number, you can still participate and exchange numbers back and forth. You just can't apply for any of the awards if you're not currently a paid-up member. It doesn't mean you can't get on there and participate in the nets and do things. You just can't send in for any awards or updates to your certificates you may be working on unless your membership is paid up. So I had the pleasure back in 2009 of shaking hands with the current president. At that time, it was Jerry W6POZ. Talked to him many, many times on the 10-meter net, California there. Had a wonderful time chatting with him at Dayton. Oh, I'd like to go to Dayton this year, but I don't know whether I'll make it or not. But anyway, I know a friend of mine is going, and he better bring me back one of those 50th anniversary pins. I'll tell you that for sure. KY6V, E3MEW.
All right. Thank you very much, Bill. KY6V here. Well, I'm just elated that you're going to find time to be one of our instructors here on the upcoming class. And I think that will be just an absolute dynamic duo between you and Paul. You guys will take center stage, I'm sure of that. On this JP45, I'll look into it a little further. What I'm hearing so far is not making sense, because there's too many roads to Rome. You know, it sounds to me like the texting concept that's come up with cell phones. I don't recall exactly what you're restricted to. It's something like 167 characters, and that's all you can send. And everybody has come up with this hellacious plan of abbreviating every word in the English dictionary down to three letters. I would assume that whatever information that you need for 10-10 could be compressed. Zipped if I can put it that way, into that 15-character string, and you're off and running. But I guess we'll see how that plays out. Thanks a million, Bill. Enjoy your evening, and thanks for running the show. KY6V, over.
Yeah, okay, Gordon, E3MEW here, Friday. Just in closing, there was something else came up in these digest messages today, and I reviewed them before the net, too, in case somebody asked me about it, although I didn't think they would. But apparently there was also talk about people that having to compress their name. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about, compress your name? You can't apparently send your full name if it's more than three characters. You got to be kidding me. And then I got some information about macros. Okay, macros, all right. Then it started to click into the little lights started to go on. The Christmas tree lights started to flicker in my brain. And I'm thinking, you don't suppose that this is all handled automatically by the computer? There's little slots for information. So if I want to send the name William, I can't. I can only send W-I-L. The rest of the name just gets clunked off. If I want to send 31824 as my 1010 number, I'm going to have a problem because there's too many numbers for to fit in this. You're given allowed a slot. I should be able to send O-N for Ontario. If I want to send Peterborough, forget it. It ain't going to happen. I'm going to have to send P-E-T. So I got the impression, and although I haven't looked this up yet, that you were restricted to groups of three of something. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. Is that it? Is that how this operates? Now, some people who have obviously been getting the emails throughout the day joined in and sent a message back, and they to the effect that they were wondering what JT45 was about. They'd heard the name, and they were wondering. And what little they were reading in the message convinced them they want nothing to do with it. They had already decided right then and there, very hotly, in the message, I ain't going to do that. I want nothing to do with it. Okay, buddy. I don't know whether I'm going to ever do it or not, Gord. I'm going to look it up, just for educational purposes. I'm going to find out more about it on the from the Internet if I can. I'm going to check around Peterborough and see if any other hams locally know about it. And I don't think they do, based on what I understand. I can't even find more than one or two people in Peterborough that had know anything about PSK31. So, I don't know. That's my take on it tonight, Gord. And my coffee cup is empty, so I'm headed for the kitchen. 7-3, my friend. A pleasure to chat with all of you. And I hope all of you have a safe and happy day. You're thinking about us with our snow alert. And, yep, my shovel's ready. I haven't turned the snowblower on this year yet. My snow scoop is out there. Boy, whoever invented that thing, I'd love to shake their hand. Boy, you can move a lot of snow with that snow scoop, let me tell you. And almost virtually effortless. They are an amazing invention. It almost makes snow shoveling a pleasure, Gord. Now, you go to bed thinking about that one. KY6B, V3MEW.
No, sir, not down here in Florida. I don't think anybody would be able to recognize, identify, or name a show snubble down here in Florida. All right, I'll look into this JP45, too. You know, this whole conversation has got my interest up because, you know, when you say that you have put your name in three letters, and I assume that initials are probably not going to do the job, then you have to have an icon. So if your name is George, a little icon of George Washington comes up or something. This is getting a little far field. Maybe what JP45 needs, Bill, is an ASCII-4. Now, we've got an ASCII-2, as you know, that's been around here for years. It says that ASCII number 123 is an A and 124 is a B. Maybe we need an ASCII-4. Good night, Bill. Closing that out officially so I can turn the recordings off. KY6V, back to VE3MEW.
VE3MEW, oh my goodness, I didn't know you would still be recording. Okay, it's 8:24 p.m. or 0124 UTC. This is VE3MEW in Peterborough, saying good night, one and all. And cheers. I am clear and going through RT.